Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. This past weekend, actor Jeffrey Tambor made headlines for his Emmy speech, in which he urged Hollywood to hire more transgender actors. Tambor won the award for his role as a transgender woman in the Amazon series Transparent. The show is part of a growing cultural conversation about gender identity and what it means to be trans or gender nonconforming. But until recently, concepts of gender diversity and identity were relatively unheard of.
Author Julie Tarney is a Milwaukee native, and in 1992, her two-year-old son Harry made a loaded statement. "Inside my head, I'm a girl." At the time, it was pretty uncharted territory, and there weren't many resources for parents in her situation. That's part of what inspired Tarney to write her new book, My Son Wears Heels. It discusses the trials and tribulations of raising a gender-diverse child without a guidebook.
Tarney spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and starts by explaining why she decided to share her story.
I wrote this book for a reason. First of all, I think I'm in a unique position because I have lived with a gender-diverse child from toddler to adulthood, and from all I've learned in this journey with Harry, and the more I continue to learn, his outcome is not as common as it should be. His good experience and having parents who were willing to go on that journey with him is not nearly as common as it should be. So I realized that I could be a voice for other LGBTQ kids. I know that my story may help other parents, and bottom line, I think I want those parents to know that they're not alone, that if they have a child who's expressing in a way that is not what they would expect from a boy or girl child, meaning they don't fit into society's fairly strict gender expectations, that my book could help assure them that they weren't going to be on that journey totally alone.
And that's something that you actually looked for. You talk about it in the book, trying to find other examples of kids who are gender diverse, how to deal with those kinds of issues, those questions. And you came up with really nothing.
I mean, you have to remember that Harry was very young. He was always a vocal child, but he was 2 years old when he told me, "Inside my head, I'm a girl." And there were very few resources. There was a lot of misinformation, a lot of stereotyping, little knowledge, and words didn't exist. The language was very inadequate then. There were no terms like gender nonconforming or gender expansive, gender fluid, even transgender. Maybe it was being used in the medical community, but I'd never heard it. I don't think I heard transgender until even maybe Harry was in college. So, yeah, there weren't a lot of resources back then.
I mean, one of the things that you talk about, which, speaking as someone who's the same age as Harry, I never would have actually thought of, but you, of course, had a friend who Harry is in part named after, who passed away from complications with AIDS. And one of your fears when he starts asking these gender questions is that he'll have the same kind of life experience that your friend did.
I think because I didn't understand the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation, I was completely misunderstanding what Harry was trying to tell me. You know, that's what was so confusing for me was, okay, if Harry's saying inside his head he's a girl, does that mean that he's going to be gay? And it wasn't about sexual orientation at all. It was about gender identity, that is, who you know yourself to be inside. The woman who wrote the foreword to my book put it really well, Diane Ehrensaf. Gender identity is who you go to bed as, and sexual orientation is about who you go to bed with. So my confusion about what Harry was trying to tell me, I just was imagining, okay, there's a chance that Harry's going to be gay as a result of what he's just told me. I'm not sure, but my experience, my most recent experience with someone very close to me being gay was someone who had contracted AIDS. And, you know, here I was projecting this horrible future on a two-year-old. It was crazy and a little ridiculous when I think about it now. So how I dealt with that was to try and remember, and Harry's dad was really good at this, by trying to help me put things in perspective, was, you know, he's 2 years old. He's a kid. And so I just kept trying to bring myself back to the present moment, which is so important. You know, we want to protect our child. We want them to be safe. We want them to be happy. And when you're not sure what your child is expressing to you, and your experience has been something that, you know, was unpleasant, then you tend to think of the worst. You know, I would try and pivot in my mind that I want Harry to have a wonderful life and be a happy kid and feel safe and secure and confident with himself. My question always to myself was, how is what I'm going to say or do affect Harry? How will he interpret what I say or do?
One of the things that I think you negotiated really well, or you described very well in the book, you know, Harry was two. Harry was a very young kid. He's asking these questions very nonchalantly, very, you know, spur of the moment. And to kind of process that while not making a judgment or making those kind of snap comments that you might be inclined to, that takes a lot of effort. You know, I'm sure that that in and of itself causes a lot of anxiety.
There was definitely some stress related to the questions. I think that night before bed when Harry was two and he asked me, his question was, how do you know I'm a boy? And that question came really out of left field for me. But then I thought, you know, kids are two, and he had been running through the sprinkler with his neighborhood friends, and I thought, well, he's noticed there's differences in kids. And so when I explained to him, I gave him an anatomy lesson, and he seemed to understand that, but I could tell that there was something that he was still processing. And so when I probed a little bit more and told them I thought it was an interesting question and what made him think of it, that's when he told me inside my head, I'm a girl. And honestly, I had no idea how to respond to that. I was folding laundry at the time and was sitting on the floor of his room and just needed stall time. Like, how do I answer? This kid is looking at me with these big eyes and has just expressed his innermost self to me. And As I stood up, I rifled through every article I'd ever read about being a parent and what to expect from your kid, and I was just coming up with nothing. And again, going back to how do I assure this kid that they are perfect just the way they are, what I told Harry was that it's really great that you know that about yourself. And it was the right answer, because I got this big grin from him and he kind of rocked back on his feet. And he doesn't remember asking me that question. He doesn't remember the conversation at all. And when we talk about it now, he thinks that what he was really expressing was that he was drawn to things that were considered feminine. He knew that he liked Barbie dolls. He knew that he liked the color pink. And what he had been learning just in his interactions with other boys and girls in the neighborhood was, well, some of these things are considered girl toys and other things are considered boy toys. And I used to think, well, maybe Harry was just confused. But I realized that Harry was never confused. Or maybe he was later as a teenager and, you know, as we all are trying to figure out who we are. But I think at the time he was just speaking his truth and what he knew about himself at the time. And it was really I who was confused, not Harry.
As we've been talking about, there is this larger conversation about gender nonconforming people and teens and gender diversity. Where do you see your book fitting into that wider conversation?
I want it to be a resource for parents who may be experiencing some of the same things that I did. I mean, I had the experience decades ago, and I know there are thousands of other parents who are learning about gender identity and struggling with what gender identity means for their child. So I'm hopeful that it can become part of the community and support and resources and expertise and research that exists today. And I want it to be, I wanted to add to the growing expanse of information that's available for parents today.
How did Harry feel when you told him you were going to write this book?
Well, I never told Harry that I was going to write the book. I told him that I had this idea of writing a book, that a friend of mine who's a PhD in psychology and works with LGBTQ youth and their families in Chicago thought that sharing my stories might be able to help other people. And by helping other parents, that you can help their kids. And so I asked Harry for permission to write the book. And I explained to him that it was my story, but that it certainly was my story as it related to being his parent. And he gave me permission. He said he thought that was a good thing to do. I did ask him to read it before I sent it, you know, for any kind of final approvals from the publisher, my editor. And Harry really didn't have any problems with it. He gave me some good notes. I felt like actually I was talking to my editor, but he didn't really object to anything that I had written.
Did writing this ever feel invasive for you? You know, you share a lot of your inner feelings. You also share a lot about your life growing up. Did it ever feel like maybe this is too much?
Oh, gosh, Joy, it felt like that all the time. I mean, I think when I first had the idea of writing these stories, I was thinking about them more anecdotally, you know, the funny things or the interesting things or how I learned from Harry. And when I talked to a friend of mine who's a writer and who actually helped me develop the ideas for the book, she said, you know, unless you're David Sedaris or Chelsea Handler, no one's really going to be interested in your stories, your anecdotes. That if you're writing a memoir, it really has to be about you. You can't write Harry's story. It has to be your story. And I remember feeling this wave of anxiety about that. You know, putting myself out there and sharing my innermost thoughts and fears and worries and confusion wasn't necessarily an easy thing for me. There were times when I thought, can I really do this? Do I really want to do this? Especially when it came to sharing aspects of my childhood and my relationship with my parents. I had a difficult relationship with them, and they're no longer living. And since being an adult, I have reconciled my relationship with them and understand them to not have had perhaps the best resources available to them to be the kind of parent that I would have wanted. So for me, that writing this book and having to go back and look at the fears I had about being a parent and not wanting to be the kind of mother that my mother had been meant really, you know, digging that up again in my own mind. But it was really important to the telling of the story. So, yeah, I did. It wasn't the easiest thing for me or the most comfortable thing for me. But I know that it was important to put my story into the context of what the stakes were for me as a mom.
What was it like looking back and analyzing the decisions you made as a mother? There was a lot of, in the book, this kind of back and forth questioning of, you know, should I let Harry wear this? Was I wrong to not let him wear this? When you looked back at the decisions that you made, how did you feel about them?
Guilty. I had guilt. In fact, I think I asked Harry, you know, was there any permanent scarring? Did you feel any emotional damage now that you're grown? And he said no, that he felt like I had made up for those things. And Harry wasn't really viewing my redirecting him in certain ways or, you know, when I didn't want him to wear dress-up clothes outside of the house or to school. He was viewing my decision based on what he believed was society's rules, not necessarily how I would have wanted it to be, which I think is pretty astute for a kid, realizing that, well, okay, things are okay at home, but maybe not so much outside of the house, and that he determined that to be because that's how the outside world is, not how things are in my family.
If you were to go back and do things over, do you think you'd change anything?
Absolutely. I would just let Harry be Harry. And I wouldn't try and put anything on him or try and stifle his creativity or his self-exploration? You know, what difference does it make what color a kid wears or what toy a child plays with? You know, I think ideally we want to be raising whole people. We want those traits or characteristics that have been considered feminine to be viewed as a human characteristic. You know, sensitivity and nurturing should be something that every child has. So I would want Harry to just be able to express. And I think that's really what it was that I learned from Harry, aside from what gender identity is, what gender expression is. And I've come to think of it like handedness. You know, it's just who we are, our gender identity, our gender expression. We're either right-handed or left-handed, and that's who we are.
Well, Julie Tarney, thank you so much for sharing so much of yourself with us.
Oh, Joy, I appreciate so much you inviting me to come on today.
Julie Tarney is the author of My Son Wears Heels, One Mom's Journey from Clueless to Kick-Ass. Tarney will be in town tomorrow for an event at Boswell Books, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. For more information on the book and the event, you can head to WUWM.com.